Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining me. This is Sasha of SashaTalks.com. Thank you for all the messages. I believe I've responded to most of them. If you're looking for any to learn more about the services and to deliver any feedback regarding any of your thoughts and stories you would like to share regarding the subjects that we cover, you're welcome to go to SashaTalks.com, click on the contact page, and submit your communication. Everyone, keep in mind that all content presented, either on the website and through our segments, adheres to the disclaimers of the service and the content of Sasha Talks. Tonight, a topic that I will be presenting and sharing an overview with has to do with something that, to some degree, each of us as individuals are responsible for in society, and the whole concept of ethics. What is ethics? And do you believe that a person can be a bit too ethical? We live in a society where we're always investing our energies in relationships, conducting business, friendships, family relationships. As long as we're interacting in society with people and things, there has to be some form of quote-unquote moral code that dictates what is acceptable in society. What is the best way for people to live? What actions are right and wrong in certain situations. Now, with life, the book of life doesn't spell out every situation. There's always some experience that we come across that is new for us or for those around us. So there's not always going to be, life is not black and white. There are times where there are gray areas, and that's where we have to apply our life wisdom, knowledge, history, experience, in order to dictate what would be the best course of action to move forward. And with ethics, people want to define good versus evil, right versus wrong, virtues versus vice, justice and crime. But at the end of the day, what is ethics? And ethics surrounds the moral code of conduct, what is right and wrong. And the word ethics is derived from the ancient Greek word called ethikos, where ethos is custom. And then we're also working alongside the world of values. So can one person be too ethical? Are you that good wife or that husband or a good lover, a good friend, a good boss? What do you do when things go awry and not according to plan? If you see your close friend cheating on their partner, will you go to the partner and tell them what's going on, or will you confront the friend? This is a random example. How do you reward loyalty? Are you a loyal person? Are you loyal to your boss? And if you're loyal, are you loyal because you get paid well, or because you genuinely feel that you believe in the cause that you're helping your boss achieve? Not only make money, but you agree with the company mission, with the company values, or are you loyal out of fear? So sometimes the intent behind the actions also matters. Sometimes people have good intentions, but when they carry out their intention, the execution of action may result in something that's unexpected and perhaps sometimes not favorable. Sometimes we have good intentions at heart. You might want to protect your friend who's being cheated on, that you know that it's not going to be a win-win situation, not necessarily so. Everyone's circumstance is different, but the messenger will get punished for letting your friend know that you might want to keep a close eye on your partner, or did you know that something is possibly off in your relationship? Regardless of how close we are to people or how distant, whether we're acquaintances, friends, or so close as family. Family we don't pick, but friends we do. But there are friends who become family over time. Depending on how strong your bond is, even if it's a strong bond, there are just some things that are of sensitive territory and very challenging to navigate. So how ethical are you? This is a rhetorical question that I throw out to the audience members. Typically, an ethical person would say, I know I'm ethical, but it's other people that I'm worried about. Can that be true? I think as a member of society, we all are. accountable to a great degree of how to coexist with one another. And if you're going to be ethical with somebody, does that mean that deep down you disagree with the other person's values, but for the sake of coexisting, you'll go along with it? There are many reasons why people choose to be ethical and adhere to some society's code. And then there are those who just don't care or have their valid reasons at that given moment in time for not being ethical. At the end of the day, who's the one to judge whether you're ethical or not? It could be your moral conscience, whether it's your cultural upbringing, your religious upbringing, your belief system, which is also independent of culture and religion. Are you very mindful of the judgment you'll receive from your loved ones or those that you manage? Ethics also exists in business. It could be in the ethics of sports, the ethics of relationships, the ethics, the code of being a good friend. Ethics can evolve over time. It means that there could be more expectations in society from all of us as citizens to adhere to a certain baseline, a code of conduct. Do your behaviors run parallel to your thoughts? Do your actions match your thoughts, basically? There are times where people have good intentions at heart in their mind, but they're afraid of taking the proper action. What if you're a whistleblower at work? You want to be a whistleblower because there's injustice taking place, but at the same time, you know that the moment you speak up, you're afraid that you might not be protected and they're going to take the other person's side that you report. And then your own well-being will be at stake. What do you do in that situation? So look at your own behavior and think how you would evaluate someone else who did the same things. If you choose to be a whistleblower, hypothetically, then perhaps your coworkers may be more careful being around you of what you say or do. And then deep down there are going to be those that are very thankful to you that you spoke up. Maybe because they were in a more sensitive situation that they didn't have either the opportunity or the courage to go forth and actually execute their intention of being a whistleblower, but you did it for everybody else. So silently, you're either being celebrated or feared. But you did what works for you. And as long as you can live with that decision and whatever ramification that may come following it, then more power to you. How do you reward people who are loyal to you? Those that are loyal to you, do you question what garners their loyalty? Are they loyal to you out of fear? Is it because you guys have a long historical ties that go back? There are people that I've known since childhood, and then there are people that I've known in the past few years. It's not always the duration of how long we've known someone, but how well we know them. At what juncture do you decide this person isn't loyal to me? So if they're not loyal to you, would you be any less ethical towards them? My next question would be, how do you handle people who speak up against you? Because when people speak up and voice a challenge, the immediate reaction is feeling threatened and having the need to defend yourself. And sometimes when people go to defend themselves and their name, a lot of outcomes can surface. Even a guilty party will go out and defend themselves, whether it's out of pride, honor, or it's an obligation to the business. But it creates an environment of where people are metaphorically holding up swords and just waiting who's going to come to battle next. So how ethical are you? Would you say you're a good friend to your friends? Are you a good employee? Are you a good husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend? Are you a good son, a good daughter? What are you? And what happens when a person who's good-natured promises you something, but they fall short of that promise. Let's say that someone's going to meet up with you for the weekend. They planned a trip to come see you, but then they can't make it because the emergency happened. Will you forgive them, or are you one of those people who's going to hold on to that as this person bailed on me, I can't trust them, and then make a mountain out of a molehill? Context matters. Sometimes when people overpromise, they don't necessarily overdeliver, but they put themselves at risk that their credibility can be walking a thin line. And at the end of the day, when you meet people, whether they're strangers or those that are acquaintances, how many of them are familiar with your reputation, your character? Do they get to hear about you through word of mouth? What is it about you that lures them to you? Is it because you're consistent with your words and your actions? Are you known for doing more good deeds than being a bit, I don't like to use the word shady, but you know, being mysterious, but not in the best ways. Mystery can be very intriguing, but sometimes people are mysterious and they have very secretive reasons for it. And there's a big difference between secretive and privacy. Privacy means I respect your boundaries, you respect mine. Secretive is usually when people are hiding things and withholding information because they feel deep down it might spur new problems in their path, or the timing is wrong and they're not ready to address something that needs attention. That secret is different than where you're throwing a loved one a surprise birthday party. How ethical are you again? How do you deliver bad news? When you know that there's bad news moving, whether it's for an employee that reports to you, or a friend that needs to wake up because they're going down a slippery slope, at what point do you decide that you're going to deliver bad news? And are you going to do it? There are many times when I hear clients talk about when they share their stories where they know something is happening, but they're hesitant in speaking up. And then they have their valid reasons why they're afraid of speaking up, but one common thread that I notice among those that share their stories is they're afraid of being judged for being the messenger and retaliation. Not all bad news is bad, but some of the news does carry a heavy burden. It could break up families. It can destroy different types of relationships. Do you deliver bad news to somebody who already has low self-esteem? Do you want to be the one putting that straw that breaks the camel's back? How do you balance the emotional and mental aspect of ethics in your life? Do you feel that your friends, the company that you keep, has strengthened your ethical values in your life? Or do you feel that some of the people have contributed to you becoming more, I would say, less laid back, less conscious about right and wrong? Now, on a spiritual level, when many people have discussions, and we're putting the law aside and just society, there are many experiences that we go through in life, and there's no game book that tells us the right and wrong. Many people wish that life was more black and white. According to some that I've met, it's extremely black and white, and it always amazes me. Maybe because of what I do for a living, I am exposed to all types of stories. Good, bad, questionable, but at the end of the day, it's not for me to judge. If a person presents a need that they have or a challenge, my job is to assist them with reaching their goal, given it's appropriate and in the good of everybody else. So how do you deliver bad news? Are you brave enough to deliver the news to your audience, whether it's one person or a group of people face to face? Or are you going to run and communicate via email or run from the phone because you don't want your voice to communicate it? or you'd rather just send a note because you feel, well, words are very powerful. It's easier to do it that way than to have someone seated before you. You see their life reaction. You're reading their body language. And maybe you might talk yourself out of delivering the bad news. You might start questioning yourself and doubting your intentions. What were you thinking? And at the end of the day, what is the right thing to do? Perhaps we'll never know whether that action is a good thing or a bad thing. But when you feel that society is at risk, a group of people are at harm, and society does care for people, regardless of what people personally think, don't we owe society as a courtesy, a heads up if something is looming? What if people do all of the good deeds and the right things and they say the right things? Are they doing it for the right reason? There are people who believe in goodwill, and then there are those that are motivated by greed. And it is a slippery slope to go down, because sometimes when we take a step that isn't too favorable, and we feel as, okay, you know, I'm gonna let this slide this time because I don't have time for this, I have too much going on. And you know some injustice is taking place at work. This is a Shirley example, because there are a lot of people who come to me with their professional challenges and we have those discussions. Are you not going to speak up because it's the wrong timing, or you don't have the right person to go to, or you don't feel you're given the resources to be protected if you speak up? What is the threshold for a person to say, okay, enough is enough, I'm gonna go? And the thing is, everybody's ethics, while as a society, I would like to believe that there's some commonality among all of us in terms of ethics, but not everyone defines ethics the same way. And it evolves and is perceived differently because of our life experiences, our belief systems. Maybe we've seen similar things play out in the past, but there've been better solutions. And in order to be an ethical person, quote unquote, it's open to interpretation. Doesn't mean that is ethics dictated in our lives by our demographics, our economic well-being, our economic status, our personal status? Not necessarily, because at the end of the day, we're still working with the human condition. And one of the questions that it intends to answer is, what is the best way for people to live? And at the same time, it's a very broad topic, because the more rules we have in society, that happens to be a tendency. The more rules there are, the harder it is for people to adhere to those rules. So then we're kind of creating our own problems, because when there are too many restrictions, it's just human nature for the mind to wander, and people want to start engaging in behaviors that are quote-unquote taboo. But still, there has to be a baseline to make sure that we have a safe living environment, a cordial working environment, cordial relationships, there's respect. And then the world of ethics does overlap with truth, but I'm not going to go off that tangent at the moment. Going back to the topic, people could have ethical intentions, but it doesn't mean that they're going to carry out ethical actions. And just because you have ethical intentions and actions doesn't mean they're going to be ethical outcomes. We have to remember that there's the law of nature in the world. Sometimes when people come to me, they're so irritated by things that they cannot control in their environment, whether it's time, other people's behavior, other people's mindset, that all of these triggers in their environment start forcing these individuals to become so rigid in their ways that they only want very specific outcomes. I want this to happen or that to happen. I don't want anything else. And they know that they have to adhere to the law of nature. we have to cooperate with the universe, or the universe is just going to put us on pause, and everything around us keeps on moving. Time, people, we're aging, everything is moving as you speak. Energy is constant. It molds into different forms, and then it just navigates through our lives, through us, through everything. And that is why it's very important to be mindful of what we say, what we think, and what we do. If you believe in karma, what you put out is what's going to come back to you in some shape or form. It's only a matter of time and place. And when people are extremely rigid in having views that are black and white, I'm not talking about Ten Commandments or the type of belief system where, you know, honor your partner, have respect for others, follow the golden rule. I'm talking about just being, dealing with day-to-day practical stuff. And you're not open-minded to welcome all types of outcomes. Sometimes when we're more open-minded to a challenge, the solution may turn out to be better than what we anticipate. But we can be so rigid where it's either this or that, because then you're filtering out so many other unknown opportunities that could benefit you and help you move along in your path. Now, when it comes to intangible theories like ethics, some people may have a very broad interpretation of ethics, and other people may have their perception of ethics filtered down to the point where everything is black and white. Unless you're in a position of power who has to guide other people through these situations where you have to dictate, okay, decide what was right or wrong. What do you do when two people are right, but they didn't reach that proper conclusion in the same manner? Is it up to you to go punish them? Or are you just thankful that they both reached the same outcome, just they did it in their own ways? One of the things mentioned to me about ethics when I did a segment related to it, I believe in the past 2 years, a person had asked me, what if you tell the truth and it's not favorable? Does that make you unethical? And the comment that we most often hear is, I'm ethical. It's everyone else that I'm worried about, going back to the initial part of the segment. Truth and ethics do overlap. There are different branches of ethics that I'm not going to cover, but it goes into the history of ethics, the ethics of society, the ethics of the judicial system, the ethics of the corporate environment, the ethics of sports management. There are so many different subsectors and sub-societies that we coexist with and among, that there are different rules and guidelines for different ones, but then there are some that are just global in terms of how we treat one another. Which leads me back to ask, are you an ethical person, and is it possible that a person can be too ethical? And there's two sides of the argument. One says, if you're too ethical, then maybe you're just going according to a guideline, adhering to a guideline that goes according to your upbringing, your belief system that's derived from whether you believe in God or not, whether you're a good citizen of society, your culture. And then the other party says that a person can never be too ethical because there's always going to be self-interest that comes into play. You may have good intentions to help another person out, but at the same time, your self-interest will say, is this going to hurt me if I take this action? Who's going to protect me? What's going to happen if I try to do a good thing and it backfires on me? Just as much people wish well for one another, there's also that human instinct, the seed of survival, that needs to watch out for themselves. Usually those who are in corporate and very competitive, cutthroat environments understand that. At the same time, I think it takes very evolved souls to not only work well in those competitive environments, but also have that empathy and respect for other people and not lose the respect and ethics to serve not only their work environment, but people around them while they're trying to attain their own success. And while people may be well-mannered, well-behaved, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're always ethical, or they're too ethical, or they have no ethics. Again, who is it for us to judge another person's ethics? An example from the field of love and relationships would be, let's say there are two people who are married. The man from marriage one and the woman from marriage two, they cross paths and life just happens and they start an affair. It ends up ruining two people's marriages, and then once they're, let's say they do get divorced in this hypothetical example, they're trying to work through the side effects of their behaviors, the aftermath that they projected onto other people who didn't ask for it, and now they're trying to work through their differences, and they realize the reality of having an affair and how much it costs them. Even though in this case, the two who had an affair with one another did get divorced and then remarried to one another. How ethical are they for bringing pain upon their marriage partners and for having the affair? Who is the ethical person in that story? Who is to decide that? Just because they had a happy ending and they married one another after divorcing their partners, just because they did it through the justice system and cleared their names, does that make them any more ethical or less ethical before their divorce and after their divorce and following their marriage to one another? Those who have lived through these scenarios will have very strong opinions about that. And it will cover the realm of ethics, the truth, consequences of behaviors. Do people really care about intentions when the actions are so bad that the damage is already done? In those type of situations, can an apology make up for all of the side effects that their partners had to live through? Or were all of them unethical people? Even if somebody was not treating the wife right properly, let's say she, in her first marriage, the husband wasn't treating her right and he was being unethical to her. If someone's unethical to you, does that mean you reciprocate by being unethical and playing the same game and trying to beat them at it? Or are you going to take the high road? It's all up for debate, but not for me to decide, because they're all types of stories that I get to hear. And I thought ethics would be an interesting topic just to share an overview with, but also a cloudy topic because we all come from many different societies and different parts of the world. And all of us are exposed to different types of scenarios that for some people, they feel that there's a formula of how you live your life. And that one formula cannot adhere to every single human being that walks this earth. And everybody has their reasons for acting a certain way, for good or bad. I'm not saying there are no consequences to questionable behaviors. There's consequences to all types of behaviors out there. But at the end of the day, that person has to have the strength and hopefully the wisdom to understand that we can't just walk around and live our lives thinking that it's not going to affect anybody. And again, it goes back to trying to understand what is best for society. It might be best for society, but it might not benefit every single citizen living in that society, which is why we have to leave room for interpretation. Because as times evolve, there are so many things that happen that we never anticipated would happen 50 years ago. There's the ethics of being online, the ethics of technology, the ethics of relationships. So I will leave you on that note, just something to think about. If you have any great story to share regarding the topic that we covered today, please go to sashatalks.com, click on the contact page, and you're welcome to share your story. And I hope to hear from you, and I'll cross paths with you next time. Until then, have a good week. Be good, be safe, be blessed. God bless.